What's up, everybody? This is Russell Brunson. Welcome back to the Marketing Secrets Podcast. Today, you are ready and prepared, I hope, for part three of a four-part series where I had a chance to do an interview with my very first mentor, Mark Joyner. And what's cool about this is in the past, I've had a chance to interview Mark a lot of times, but it was the first time that he ever interviewed me, which was kind of... Anyway, it was a huge honor to have your mentor asking you questions about stuff. And so, like I said in the first episode, Mark was my very first mentor online, someone who I, have so much respect for and so grateful for him and his contribution that helped me to figure this game out. And I hope you guys enjoy part three of our four-part series with my very first ever mentor, Mark Joyner. So the big question is this. How are entrepreneurs like us, who didn't cheat and take on venture capital, who are spending money from our own pockets, how do we market in a way that lets us get our products and our services and the things that we believe in out to the world and yet still remain profitable? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Russell Brunson, and welcome to Marketing Secrets. Okay. Third thing.
All right. So, I think the reason why a lot of people is they're trying to grow their company, they hit these ceilings and I struggled with this. I got stuck between $1 and $3 million a year for like a decade. Like I couldn't break that ceiling no matter how hard I did. And what I realized is as we launched ClickFunnels, the first phase of the business was there's like the hyperactive cut, like the first set of customers, which are the easy ones, right? Like they get it. They're the early adopters. They figure stuff out. And those are like the customers that are already there. They're just waiting for you to go and grab them. And I think most companies, that's as far as they ever get. In fact, I've been geeking out on the book, Crossing the Chasm right now. And there's like the five different things, right? And it's like the innovators are the first ones. And I think that's where most people's businesses get to the innovators. And that's where they stop, right? And then the second phase is like the early adopters. But these people aren't like, you have to start the second phase. You have to learn how to like create a customer, right? When we first launched ClickFunnels, like the internet marketers who knew what funnels were like, sweet, I'm in. And they came in and they got ClickFunnels, early adopters, right? But then after that was done, like we ran out, it was like being in a Ferrari on a dead end road. Like we ran out of road and all of a sudden we're like, hey, we got all the internet marketers. Like, oh crap, now what? And it was like, okay, now we have to create customers. Like we have to change our messaging, create our front end price. Like they do things so that when someone comes, they don't come with the desire ahead of time, but they listen to the message and all of a sudden it's like, oh, I need a funnel. Like if you look at even strategically, the .com secrets book was to get the early adopters, people who understood funnels were like, here's my strategy of funnels. We got them in. And an expert secrets was like, hey, do you have talent? Like, are you good at, do you have ideas or advice or things you can make money with, right? That you can share your advice. Like people are like, oh yeah, I do. It's like, cool. Well, you need a funnel to be able to get that message out to the marketplace. And so we created customers from people. And that's kind of the second phase. And I don't think most people ever get to that where they're in the phase of creating customers. They're getting the low hanging fruit, the early adopters, and then that's the business and they hit the ceiling and never get past it. And it's realizing the next phase is like, okay, how do I create customers? How do I create the desire so that they will come from where they are and come to the next phase? And I feel like just from my standpoint, like we just finished, like we're kind of at the end of the early adopter phase and we're now making the leap to like the early majority, which for me, this is like my big challenge is crossing the chasm. We can talk about it later if we wanted, but like that's the next phase that I'm in. And most people never, you know, it's taken us 6 years to get to the point where we're done with that phase and moving to across the chasm, which is scary and exciting.
That's kind of what I want to end on actually. I want to interject really quick here. This is a very interesting Eugene Schwartz lesson that I think is quite apropos to what you're talking about. And you remember, you know, the audience awareness scale, right? Yes. You know, so he's got two things in there, the audience sophistication scale and the audience awareness level. And the audience awareness level goes all the way from like problem unaware, right? So actually I should put, yeah. So problem unaware. So imagine, you know, you got a guy who is living in the Aboriginal bush and he doesn't even know that there is such a thing as phones. And you're like, hey, here's an iPhone. Well, he's not even aware that he has the problem that he doesn't have a phone, right? And then you got guys who are problem aware, and then you got solution aware, and then it goes all the way up to most aware, right? Which is like a guy who's like, hey, all you have to do is tell me that there's the new iPhone coming out.
I'm in.
and right, I'm camping out. Like I'm going to be in front of the iPhone store for 2 weeks so I can be first, right? So as Russell was changing, he was dealing with guys who were, you know, sort of like, you know, solution aware and sometimes even problem aware. But as he was expanding his marketplace, he had to kind of reach out to these other areas. But what you have to also understand is that as you go across this whole spectrum, this area is almost always where the biggest money is, but it's the hardest market to talk to because the messaging is so much more changed.
Each step in that, like, it's because people are like, well, how do you shift it? And like, it's the words, it's like the language. I remember Dean Graziosi called me one day. He's like, this is the weirdest thing. He's like, I'm at my wife's hairdresser and the hairdresser starts talking about this thing called ClickFunnels. And he's like, calls me. He's like, you've done something nobody else has ever done because my hairdresser is talking about your company right now. But it's like, again, if I walk to hairdresser, like, do you want a funnel? They're like, for my hair? Like, how does that work? It's like, no, we had to speak differently to those audiences. And as we go further out to different audiences, we change our language patterns because we have to speak to them in a way that they understand. And then we bridge the gap, right? Then we take them through a bridge that helps them understand, like, oh, that means funnel. And this is why you need that thing. And that's part
right.
of it. So much fun.
They're not even going to know what a funnel is. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. By the way, another really interesting book people can read. So sort of like a spiritual sequel to Breakthrough Advertising was one written by, you know, some of the guys high level in Agora called Great Leads. And they talk about, it's actually a fantastic book. And it shows you six different ways to talk about those different audience, to talk to those different audience awareness levels. Very, very good read for people. Okay, now. So this one is, I want to get into to the thing that you talk about crossing the chasm. And I think that's a nice one to end on here. And actually, cause I wrote it as your plan to reach the $1 billion level. And I think that's kind of the same question really. Right. So, but before we get to that, I want to ask you what your three biggest personal lessons were in this journey, in this entrepreneurial journey. And you can even talk about some of your sports stuff too, because I know some of that applies.
Yeah.
Right. So what would you say those are?
Man, I would say to begin with is like entrepreneurship, like building a business is like the best personal development seminar you'll ever go to. Like all your problems get like shoved in your face and it gets bigger and bigger. It's like,
And you deal with it or you go broke.
Oh yeah. It's tough. But what's cool about business too, it's kind of like, I have a lot of friends who are having their first baby right now. And I remember our first babies came and we've got five kids now, but when the first come, you're so scared. Like, what am I going to do when the baby shows up? You're freaking out. Awesome. The baby comes out and it sits there and it sleeps for 18 hours a day. You're like, oh, it's just sitting there. Like, okay, this isn't that bad, you know? And then it starts growing and growing. And what's interesting is that your capacity to handle a baby grows as the baby grows, right? And so right now I've got my twins are 14 years old and it's like, man, they stress us out. Teenagers are so much harder. But it's like, if they would have came out at 14 year olds, like it would have crushed us. We'd have been destroyed because we weren't prepared. Right. But our capacity to handle the problems grew as the kids grew. And I think, you know, I look at like the stuff I deal with on a daily basis right now, like 6 years ago would have destroyed me. Like, I'm so grateful that, you know, that I had 6 years to grow in capacity to handle the stuff. Like, I mean, it's ridiculous, but that's why business is so much fun too. And it's exciting. So, what was the question again?
So the three biggest personal lessons that you've learned along the way. And again, this could be from your sports career, from your parenting, and from your entrepreneurial journey, because I think they're all related. As you said, you know, business is the best personal development seminar you could possibly attend. These things are not unrelated. They are all, it's all one life, right? You know, and things that I learned in the military definitely applied, you know, to my life and business. And I'm sure things that you learned in the sporting world and in parenting have also applied to business as well. So it sounds like the first one is that you had to learn how to grow along with the challenges, because the challenges are not going to get easier. They're actually, by definition in life, going to get more difficult. And I think let's just be really frank and blunt with everybody listening. Look, we all age, people. We all age. That means that baked in to the formula for life itself is increasing difficulty, no matter what. And if you think you're going to insulate yourself in some bubble, you know, everybody has this, they get into entrepreneurialism saying, well, what's going to happen is I'm going to make a whole bunch of money, then I'm going to sit on a beach sipping umbrella drinks and all my problems are going to go away. Well, guess what's going to happen? You do that, and I tried there. Here's what happened. I got fat, sick, and I became this horrible, disgusting person that I was not proud of, and I was going to die if I carried on with that path. This is the way the universe is designed, guys. It's designed to continue to get more difficult and to challenge you more. Would you agree with that?
100%. Unless and some people not, because they like they cave and they go and they sit and watch TV and they just like, I'm going to tap out and sedate themselves to so they don't hear the voice, the calling, whatever it is that's like pulling you, right? Because I think all humans have that. I think it's inherent from our creator that like there's this thing that like pulls us to want to do more and like we want to contribute and like we have this thing. And but the majority of people they try to sedate it, right? They say it with TV, with drugs, right, with alcohol, with pornography, exactly, whatever it is, like to get that noise out, because there's pain with that. Like man, it is painful to walk out. Like and I'll tell a story that maybe this kind of ties into the second one, but we were about a year into ClickFunnels and you know, this is all of our first rodeo. Like it was Todd's first time building an app this big and all these things. And I remember when we first built it, he's like, I'm pretty sure that like, you know, the way I built it will handle about 10,000 customers. And we thought maybe that'll take, you know, a couple of years. And within a year, we were 10,000 customers. And sure enough, like about a year in, like things start happening and like the site would go down for half an hour and then like they get it back up and then like all these problems and all these things. And it was just like so much stress. And I remember I got asked to speak in London to talk about ClickFunnels. So my wife, my kids, my family, we fly to London. As soon as we land at the airport, I get out and I'm trying to get my phone connected and get a SIM card and whatever. As soon as it gets in, like my phone is just like on fire from like, and it's all these people who I knew and I thought they were my friends, but as soon as ClickFunnels went down and they were not they want like pitchforks were out, they were ready to kill me. And I'm like, I don't know what's happening. And so I remember I messaged Todd and I'm like, what happened? He's like, we've been down for 2 hours. He's like, we can't figure it out. He's like, if we're able to recover from this, then I don't know, something. But I just remember him saying if, and I was like, wait,
if?
It wasn't like when, it was like if. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I don't even know how to deal with this. And like,
I've been there.
We're in a car and we're drinking kids at the hotel and they're like all excited for London. And I'm like stressing out, like, I don't know what to do. And finally get the hotel and we're talking and everything's still down. And like Facebook and like, everyone's like literal death threats. Like it's crazy. Like how crazy people get and like, and just everywhere. And all I wanted to do was like, you know, and I'm a Mormon, so there's not many things that we can do to sedate. Like, let's go get some ice cream. Like, I don't know anything, right? And I was like, oh, what do we do? And I remember that moment. I was just like, I just want to hide, but I was like, I don't think that's the right, I don't know. I don't think that's the right thing. I think I need to talk about this and I shouldn't like act like it's okay. Cause it's not like and so I decided, so I went to our Facebook group at the time. I think it's still archived in there. You probably find it, but I did this video from the hotel room and I was like, ClickFunnels is down and it is not acceptable. And I am pissed at myself. I'm pissed at my team. We're all pissed. Like this is not okay. And like, I just went out like all my sites are down. I'm losing money. You're losing money. I understand. It's not fair to you. It's not fair. Like, and I just owned it publicly, live streaming, and it was scary. I'm like, I don't know what's gonna happen. I'm gonna keep you guys apprised, but we are doing everything we can, and it is not acceptable. And I am so sorry. And we're gonna fix this. And I just led with that, and then got Facebook Live, and then probably bawled my eyes out. Like, I don't know if we're gonna fix this. Like, you know. And luckily, I've got an amazing team back home, and they're killing themselves. Awesome. And you know, it'll be a good chapter in the Bootstrap book someday. But everything went on, but it took about 8 hours and they got it back up. And I remember after it got back up and it was, you know, it got stable. Then we're just like, oh no, what's going to be the damage from this and the fallout. And I remember, you know, we get graphs every day of like how many people signed up and we will leave and like just, you know, all those kind of numbers. And man, during that thing, like our number of cancellations, almost non-noticeable. Like, and I was just like, I can't, like, if we went the other way around and hid behind it, people wouldn't trust, like who knows how, like, what would happen. And that was just such a good learning moment for me. Like, we can't hide behind stuff. Like, in today's world, like, we just have to come out front. And so, like, that was a year in. And then luckily, you know, from that point, we had some other good partners who came on, like Ryan Montgomery, who came and, like, helped us stabilize things and figure out all these things. And you know, it's been pretty stable since then. But, like, it's just those things, you know, that you learn of, like, don't hide. Like, it's, you know, don't sedate. And I think in all aspects of life, that's like a lesson. Like, don't, like as soon as the coming gets hard, like, man, your brain's going to be looking for a million different ways to say no, or like, oh, I don't want to go that way. No. And like, man, everything good always comes from like going to the eye of the storm and pushing through it. And, even though the pain seems like if I sedate or if I check out, it's going to be good, but it's not a way to live life anyway.
So, you know, dude, it's funny you say that. I was just shooting a video about exactly that, about how everybody is kind of opiating themselves these days, you know, through, you know, the dopamine hits of social or, you know, whatever it is. I mean, you know, everybody's got their drug of choice now. You know, again, I mean, you know, named a lot of them, you know, binge watching, pornography. I mean, you know, actual hardcore drugs. I mean, there are people now, there's so many people that are hooked on fentanyl and heroin combinations. And I mean, it's a really ugly cocktail of what's going on. And I want to kind of interject and maybe posit what I think another third lesson is for you. I'm actually going to ask you a question. Were you raised in Mormonism or did you choose to convert?
I was definitely raised in it, but I also had a very definite like point where I chose it. you know, there, at least for me, for I think there's always a time when a storm comes and you got to decide what you really believe. Definitely had that. So yes and yes.
And I would say, I would just kind of hypothesize that that played a huge role in your personal development because you guys are not allowed to involve yourselves in any of those sedation methodologies. You know, they encourage a very morally upright life. And I have to say, being, you know, a veteran of the military intelligence community, I actually got to know a lot of Mormons because Mormons go out there and they get their language training as missionaries. So there are a lot of Mormons in the military intelligence community. And I got to say, like almost all of the Mormons that I worked with were really solid dudes who were like just, you know, genuine, sincere people, you know, who wanted to live their life correctly and, you know, and legitimately wanted to be kind to people. And I know you got people like Bill Maher out there, you know, saying all kinds of really nasty things about Mormonism, you know, calling it a cult and stuff like that. But my experience with Mormons has been nothing but very positive. Yeah. And it would seem to me that your choice to really, even though you were raised in it, to decide to take that on very seriously must have also been very pivotal for you in your personal growth.
100%. So, I mean, you think about like, I did go on a mission for 2 years for the church, and like, I went when I was 19 years old, which is typically for most people, that's the time when you're in college, you're partying, you're drinking, you're like thinking all about yourself, and you go out there on the mission and like, you can't do anything for yourself. Like you get a name tag where literally I was Elder Brunson. Like my name is gone. Like I'm not even a, you know, and you're out there every day serving other people during typically the most selfish time in someone's life. And for 2 years, that's the lens you look at things. When you come home, and I always tell people like, I'm so grateful I made money after a mission. Cause who knows what would happen. You know, like, and both of us have friends that made a lot of money really young and it destroyed them. And so it's like,
definitely.
You know, it's just super grateful that I had that lens to, you know, just, I don't know, a lens of learning how to serve people before yourself, which is, you know, unfortunately most people don't have that opportunity. And, you know, on a mission, you're kind of forced into it and you know, you learn to love it. So, yeah.
Well, it's funny for me, you know, even though my family was Catholic, you know, I was kind of raised around atheist agnostics, you know, I became, you know, sort of what I would call now a pantheistic spiritualist. But over time, I've become more and more, you know, rigid in that. You know, I mean, I've explored, you know, all of the different world's religions. And I mean, the one thing, and I haven't decided yet if I'm going to settle in any location. I still need to listen to your Mormon apologetics video that you made. I'm super curious about that. I need to make a point of hearing it because, I mean, I'm open to it. I'm open to it. And when I see people who are living a life that represents, you know, genuine service for other people. Like, I don't know if you ever heard of this guy, Father Gregory, who has this thing called Homeboys Bakery. And he was giving, and basically what he does, he takes these kids who were, they were in prison and he gives them jobs at a bakery and then helps teach them how to be decent people. Mm-hmm. And I saw that and man, you can't help but get choked up when you hear about something like that, man, because when you see somebody living their life that way, and when you know what the cost of living your life the other way is, it makes you really take those kind of things seriously. And even though religion gets a bad rap because, there's a lot of crazy stuff happening in organized religion, the notion that sin, you know, however you want to label that, destroys your life is an observable phenomenon, man. I mean, You can see it. I mean, when you do all of the things that you're, you know, quote unquote, not supposed to do, and all of the religions of the world tell you not to do a lot of the same things. And when you see what happens to people who live their life that way and they think they can get away with it, right? And then you see what happens to people who live their, and I'm talking about people who are, you know, like the weak, oh, I'm trying to be a nice guy as a way to manipulate people. That's a bullshit thing that some people do, right? I'm talking about guys who are like, hey, I'm going to make myself a strong person and I'm going to do good in the world. Though, when I see people like that, I'm like, that is the path that we all need to be walking down. And the more of us do that, the better the world's going to be.
Yeah. I had someone recently tell me that, like learn about like my beliefs and stuff and just, but like, man, that must be really, really hard. And then at the same time, I looked at their life and I was like looking at the path they've gone on, and not to judge them all, but I'm like, that seems so much harder. Like,
yeah,
I don't know, like maybe, but you know, I'm grateful for the path and I'm going to stay on it. So
good for you, man. Good for you, dude. I'm blessed to see your example, because you know, you're yet another person I can look at and say, hey, here's a guy, and your life is harder than mine, man. Your company is you know, doing way more volume than mine right now. You have kids to manage. You do all these extra things on top of it, you know. And I'm like, man, I want to learn how Russell is managing all of this stuff. You know what I mean? Because I mean, you're younger than I am, but you figured some things out that I haven't figured out. I want to learn that, and I'm a moron if I don't learn it, right? I mean, this is where the egolessness has to come in. If you want to be better and better and better, if you want to truly achieve greatness, you got to be really straight with yourself about what you can and can't do. So let's kind of tie this up now with this crossing the chasm thing, man. Yeah. This is, you know, I don't know if this is something that could be covered briefly, because I imagine it's going to be a pretty complex thing, but what can you say about that?
Yeah. And I'll tell you some of my thoughts. I don't know all the answers yet. We're on that journey right now.
Good answer.
Yeah. And it's fun though, because it's like, for me, it's been interesting as I've gone on this journey too. And maybe this ties back to the last question as well, but like, you know, and I'll tie back to sports. Like when I was wrestling for a long time, like it was me. I was the all-star, right? I was out there wrestling. It was my thing. I got my hand raised. I loved it. And now that I'm older and I've got kids now, like my kids wrestle, and like, it's hard. The transition from like all-star to coach is really painful, right? Because like, it's like, I want to be on the mat. Like, oh, they're doing things wrong. And at first it's really painful. And then eventually, like for me, my kids, it's my twins' third year in wrestling. And this year was like so rewarding, because the stuff we've been working on, they're finally getting it. And like to see them get their hand raised actually felt better than my own hand raised, which is weird, because I was like, that's been the great part of my life, is getting my own hand raised. And with business was similar, because like the first 2 years of ClickFunnels, like I was the all-star. Like people are like, how big was your funnel building team? Like, it was me. I built the funnels. I wrote the sales presentation. Like, Todd was doing the software. I was doing everything else. And I was the all-star. Like, I'm doing the webinars. I'm flying around the world. I'm speaking. I'm doing stuff. My hand's getting raised over and over and over again. And as we started growing, it started getting harder and harder for me to handle that, right? And I remember 3 years ago, I was like this spot where it's just like the pressure was so much. And I was just like at a breaking point. I'm like, I don't know what to do this. And I can't, I remember where I was at. It was some other conversation, but the thought that popped in my head was like, you have to transition from being the all-star to being the coach. Mm. Like, at the time I'd hired a couple people, and they would go, they'd write copy for me, or they'd build a funnel for me, and like they do it. And I felt like it was like Michael Jordan, like, you know, their pupil goes up to take to shoot a shot. And he's like, I can shoot there, grab it, and just dunk on him, right? And I felt like I was doing that. Like, my team would come in, they'd guess them, like, oh, this sucks. I go and delete it all and rewrite it and fix it all. And like, oh, I'm an all-star. Like, look how good I am. And it was holding me back and them back and everything. And I was like, I have to make this transition to being the coach, right? So that was the whole second phase was like, you know, and again, it's first, it's hard. But now I'm looking at my team now. My team's getting so good. And like, they're producing stuff and they're creating without me. And it's like, and it's like same thing. Like now they launch something, I'm like, that, like, oh, like it's same thing. Like it feels better getting your hand raised when your team's doing it now. It's interesting.
You've got a great model really quick. I just want to interject from wrestling. You know, I mean, Dan Gable was kind of seen as the greatest wrestler of all time. And then now he's kind of universally recognized as the greatest coach of all time as well, across all sports, right? I mean, there are very few people who would deny that Dan Gable, you know, is the best coach of any sport of all time, right?
It's hard. Like, think about how many people, like, making a jump from that, like, how many great athletes never become good coaches? You know what I mean? Like, and I think, excuse me, a lot of it is the ego, right? It's been really hard for me at both coaching my kids and then coaching the team. Like, there's this ego thing. You're just like, I can do it better or whatever. And it's like, it's right. So hard. And so anyone that can make that transition from all-star to coach, like, I have so much respect for him because it takes a lot.
Ego's training, man, because I tell you, yeah, the ego battle is probably, you know, that's the battle, right? Because the ego kind of drives you, that pride drives you so much in the beginning.
It's the fuel initially. It's the reason why I want your hand raised. Like, the ego's the driving force initially, and then it becomes the thing that holds you back in the next phase. You're like, what? Like, you were such a great friend over here. Now you're screwing me over. What just happened?
Well, this is the genius of the design of the universe, right? It's like every time we think we've got it figured out, it's like, nope, you don't. Because, you know, whatever designed this, whatever your cosmology of the universe is, call it God or whatever, is infinitely smarter than you are. And it's going to come up with so many ways to trick you and keep you off balance that every time you think you got it dialed in, there's going to be a new challenge that's going to come up. You have to love that. It's kind of beautiful, right? Because, okay, I mean, it's what keeps life interesting. It would be so dull without it.
Yeah, it's so much fun. Hey, everybody, this is Russell again. And really quick, I wanted to invite you to join arguably the best thing that we've ever put out inside the ClickFunnels community. And it is a challenge we call the One Funnel Away Challenge. You know, everyone in their business, in their life, they're one funnel away from something. Some of you guys are one funnel away from quitting your job. Some of you guys are one funnel away from getting more impact. Some of you guys are a funnel away from growing your company to the next level. And so we created this challenge to help you to create and launch your first or your next funnel. No matter where you are in your business, this challenge is going to help you. It's going to help you understand the strategy, help you understand the tactics, help you understand all the things you need to be successful with your funnel. So what I recommend you do right now is stop everything, pause this audio, go online and go to onefunnelaway.com. That's onefunnelaway.com and join the next challenge. There's a challenge starting in the next few days, so go get started right now. onefunnelaway.com.